Well, thank you, Gareth and team, for leading us in those songs. And it's great to be here this morning with you, church. Just love you guys. Love hanging out with you. Everybody's got a different journey, eh? And you just hear stories. And Ralph, thank you for sharing your story and how God has used you. And yeah, just incredible. I talked to somebody this morning. They said, "Well, I'm alive." And somebody else shared about the incredible redemption that they've had in the last year in their journey. We've got all our own journeys, but God brought you here this morning. So good to have you here as we lit that candle of joy. And so we're making our way all the way to the Christ candle, Christmas Eve. As Steve mentioned, don't show up here alone on Christmas Eve. Invite somebody with you. I'm always keeping these on me. I've invited a couple people already, and we'll continue to invite people until Christmas Eve. And so we're looking forward to that. So I don't have the gift of administration. I recognized that yesterday when I invited my neighbors to our place for a party next Saturday, and I put the wrong date on the invitation, and then my wife pointed it out to me. These things happen, and we've got a great church office administrator here, Tracy, and that's why you rarely ever find a mistake in our bulletin. She does such an awesome job, yes. But some other administrators, not so much, you know, and in my line of work, it's known as bulletin bloopers. So like one church secretary that put Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. Or one other bulletin head in, "Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help." And next week's service, the sermon topic will be, quote, "What is hell?" Quote, "Come early and listen to our choir practice." Wow. Tuesday at 6 p.m., there will be an ice cream social. All ladies giving milk will please come early. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking next week at Calvary Church. Come hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. One more. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the worship team will sing "Break Forth into Joy." And we want to talk about joy this morning, because as Stanley Hauer says, beware of the theologians who don't laugh. And joy, we ought to be at Grace Point here about joy. But it's difficult sometimes, as Steve mentioned, to be joyful in our world because of this truth. Put it up on the screen. That pain is inevitable, right? Pain is inevitable. The world is full of suffering. Last Sunday, we had Ben Alabad's picture from Aleppo, Syria, up on the screen there. That seven-year-old, you know? And so, of course, I'm watching her every day. Like, is she still going to be alive? And I was thinking this week, like, why her? Why her and not me? I didn't choose where I was to be born. She didn't choose. Here she is, you know, fleeing from bombs, needing medicine, you know, daily fight of survival for food and for water. How come she has to go through those hard times? And here I'm in this land of democracy and freedom and opportunity. And my childhood was, you know, playing in the snow in Kitchener where I grew up and making snowmen and playing kick the can and all of that kind of stuff. But she doesn't have that. And if I've said it once to God, I've said it 1,000 times. Why does life appear to be so random? Why does it appear so random? Why does life seem sometimes so unjust or so unfair towards certain people? Pain is inevitable. Some people, they seem to have the Midas touch and everything they touch turns to gold. And somebody today will be standing in the wrong spot at the wrong time and will be hit by a drunk driver. And I go, why, God? Why does life seem to be so unfair? Why do some seem to suffer the consequences of others' actions in such devastating ways? And sometimes it's our own choices. Sometimes it's the sin of others. But in the end, it's all the same. Pain is inevitable. And maybe even it's this Christmas season that brings painful memories up in your life. Maybe it's because of the loss of a loved one. Or maybe it's because of your upbringing, and Christmas kind of is that time of reminiscing and reminds you of that. Perhaps it's something sorrowful that's happened, and Christmas is just a reminder of it. Or maybe it's this Christmas. You're going through a relational struggle or financial struggle, or some person is causing you pain in your life, and you're like, oh, God, where is the joy that you promise? Maybe you've got somebody in your life who's one of those negative Nellies. John Ortberg tells a story in one of his books about a farmer who had a neighbor, just a constant complainer. And this farmer decided to impress the neighbor. He went out and he bought the greatest hunting dog. And he trained this dog thoroughly, and then he invited his neighbor to watch the dog. And he showed how the neighbor could show the neighbor how this dog could stand for 1 hour motionless and pick up a scent a mile away. From a blind, the farmer shot a duck which landed in the middle of the pond. Upon command, the dog trotted out, walked on the water, retrieved the bird, and brought it back to the master. So the farmer challenged his neighbor and said, "Hey, what do you think of the dog?" And he said, "Your dog can't swim, can he?" Some people are just like that, right? They're just kind of the negative Nellies in life, and they're always looking for what's wrong. And maybe you've got somebody like that in your circle right now. No, nothing you do is good enough for them. Any fans of Charlie Brown? And Charlie Brown Christmas, isn't that a classic movie? You know, 50 years, still a favorite. There's a Charlie Brown Peanuts cartoon strip where Lucy is philosophizing and giving kind of one of her dogmatic lectures. And she says, "Charlie Brown, life is a lot like a deck chair. Some place it to see where they're going, others place it to see where they've been, and some place it to see where they are at present." To which Charlie sighs, "I can't even get my lawn chair open." And maybe that's how you feel sometimes. I can't get my lawn chair open. What's this in life? And maybe now you're just facing this stress in life and you're like, "I can't get the chair open. I'm overwhelmed with the circumstances I'm facing." Maybe it's stress that you're facing now this Christmas season. Or maybe it's some expectations that others have placed upon you. Or maybe you just feel like you're going to snap. And you go, where is the Christmas joy? There's none in your life. Life has thrown a dagger at you. It's called pain. Pain is inevitable. We can't always control what happens to us in life, but we can control what happens within us. We can't always control the circumstances around us, but we can control our response to those circumstances. Life throws us a dagger called pain. And you and I have a choice. Are we going to catch that dagger by the handle or by the knife? See, that brings us to the second truth. That pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. See, we can all choose, like I said, how to catch that dagger. And if we choose to catch it by the knife blade, yeah, then we will suffer misery, resentment, a hardened attitude. Perhaps towards other people or towards God. Bitterness. Oh, we can't control the things on the external, but we can control the things on the internal, including an attitude of joy. There's a monk who went into a silent monastery. And so he met with the supervisor, and the supervisor said, "You can't talk here. Meals are at this such and such a time." And so he went to the silent monastery. He's in there for a decade. He comes out after 10 years. He says to the supervisor, "Room cold." And he goes back into his room. He comes out after another 10 years. He says, "Food bad." Goes back into his room for another decade. Comes out after 30 years and he says, "I quit." To which the supervisor responds, "Well, that's no surprise. All you've done is complain here for the last 30 years. Sometimes when we have that cold bed, bad food, the things that life throws at us, how are we going to respond to them? Barbara Johnson says, we go through a process in life when life throws us pain. And she describes it in these terms. She says, we start by churning. We're almost like a meat grinder. We're just churning as we're trying to analyze the situation and process what's happened to us. And then she says, we often go from churn to burn, where we're burning. And it's just, we have this anger within us. And sometimes it's an anger directed towards others. Sometimes it's an anger inward towards ourselves. Sometimes it's an anger outward. Sometimes it's, we scream. Sometimes we just kind of personalize it within us and stay silent. And she says, after the churn and the burn, and then we go to a yearn phase where we say, what if only I hadn't, if only this hadn't happened to me. And we remember the yesteryears and the things, and we have this yearning that can last for a day, a week, a month, a lifetime. And some people never get past that yearning, and the result is misery. But there's a better way. We can move from churn and burn and yearn to learn, to respond to what God has and turn to Him in the midst of it. Life isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it is. The way we cope with it that is what makes all the difference. Let's take our Bibles. I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Or you can turn on your mobile device and sign in there to YouVersion, the version that we recommend, and you can do a search there under events and you'll find the outline there at Grace Point Church. Luke chapter 2. The context here is the census has been issued by Caesar, and so Mary and Joseph, they've got to travel to Joseph's hometown, which is Bethlehem. And let's pick up the story in verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And I want us to focus this morning on verse 10. That the words of the angel, where the angel says, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." That first phrase, good news. Everybody say those two words, good news. The Greek word there is evangelizo, which means to announce the good news or to proclaim proclaim glad tidings. It's something here the angels are declaring. This isn't something just good advice for the moment. This is good news forever, because the world has changed. History has been cut in two. Something that has never happened before has happened now. Here in Bethlehem, the Savior, the Messiah, has come. And it's forever going to alter human history. It is good news. As the Christmas hymn goes, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." That's the good news. We need a Savior. As sinners, we couldn't reconcile to God by ourselves. God had to reach down to us. He initiated that reconciliation. That is good news. God didn't send a soldier. God didn't send a judge. God didn't send a reformer nor a teacher. God sent a Savior. Why? Because of humanity's greatest need, our need for a Savior. So the angel proclaims, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." And what's the result of this good news? It will cause joy. What kind of joy? Shout it out. What does it say in verse 10 or up on the screen? Great joy. The Greek word there is megas, from which we get our English word mega. This is going to be mega joy, a great amount of joy, an intense joy. This mega joy, extraordinary joy, a weighty joy, mega joy. And who is this joy for? Is it for just the people who live in Langley? No, what does it say? It's a joy for all people, right? It's for everyone, not just a select few. Not for those whose circumstances are going well, or whose relationships are doing well, or whose life is going well for. No, it's for all people. That includes you. It includes me. The Christmas account is an account of joy. And we see it all through the Luke's version of the gospel. I put a couple examples on your outline from Luke chapter 1 there, that the angel says to Zechariah regarding the birth of his son, John the Baptist, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Or later in the same chapter, when Elizabeth is talking to Mary, Mary has gone to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says to her, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, my baby in my womb leaped for joy. And Mary, as she's pondering this whole what's happening to her in her Magna Facat there in the end of Luke chapter 1, she says, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Joy, joy, joy. In today's verse, the angel said, I'll bring you good news of great joy for all the people. The Christmas account is an account of joy. God wants to share his joy with you. I was even thinking this week, and it's kind of a bit of a weird thought, but I thought, what if the fall hadn't happened? Would the incarnation have still happened? And I realize it's kind of, you know, talking about something we have no idea, you know, what God would do. But that, to me, it's like, because we very naturally go back to the answer of sin. Oh, God came, sent his son, Jesus, because of our sin problem. And that is true. But I was also thinking that God is an incredible, joyful being. God is the happiest being in the universe. And he does this, send his son, Jesus, out of joy for you and for me. The Christmas account is full of joy. And you and I can choose that joy also. It's what our hearts yearn for. We sang earlier, the most popular Christmas carol there is on planet Earth. Joy to the world. It's what our hearts yearn for. But it's up to you and I to internalize that. Because only you can choose joy for yourself, right? And only I can choose joy for me. And we choose whether we let circumstances determine our extent of happiness or whether we let Jesus give us his joy. We choose whether to let others rob us of that joy or to choose the joy for ourselves. And I say to you this morning, don't let others steal your joy. Joy is an internal thing. I was reminded of looking at this passage this week. Let's stick it up on the screen there, Talia. Looking at the Greek, and I rarely do this. I try not to pull the Greek out, but sometimes it's just the nerd in me has to do it. So if we take a look at the verse, it says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I announce to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And that word there, idio, in the Greek, or behold, doesn't appear in the NIV. It doesn't appear in most modern translations, but it is in, if you've got an older Bible, the King James Version or the New American Standard, they keep that word behold in. And the translators, whenever they're translating, they sort of have to make decisions around that. We keep words in, not keep words in kind of thing. And now we tend not to use that word behold, right? I don't say to my wife, hey, behold the snow. You know, behold the Christmas tree in our front yard, front living room. And she'll be like, whoa, what's with Rick? I'm not going to be holding him. Like, that's behold, behold. You know, we tend not to use that word. But the King James, like I said, keeps it in there. And that that word behold there, it means to look, to gaze upon, to grasp, to relish, to internalize. So this idea that the angel is saying, hey, don't be afraid, but behold. Internalize it, relish it, see for yourself. The Messiah has come. This baby is the Lord. That's amazing. See, when we think about that, it means that we begin to see life not from our perspective, but God's perspective. God has come down. God is in control of this earth. God is in control of my life. Because we can often forget that, right? And we look at life the way it is just from our perspective. Who's ever been to New York City? A few of you have been to New York City? Everybody been in a cab in New York City? Yeah, some of you have been. I hear that's quite a scary, some of you are laughing. I hear it's quite a scary, adventure to go on, you know, riding in the back of a cab in New York City, you know. And we're, you know, if you were to be doing that, you know, you'd be going, where am I? What's going on? We're going to hit somebody. Oh, you know. And, but let's say you were to go up 443 meters to the Empire State Building. And then you were to look down upon New York City. from that perspective, it would look fairly orderly, right? It looked like, oh, okay, yeah, the cars are all going here. But when you're down on the ground level, it's like, oh, swerve and honking horns and that kind of thing. And from our perspective, we may look at life and we may say, this is unjust. This is unfair. This is not right. This is robbing me of joy. But God, who is above, knows what's best. And He is in control, and we can trust Him. Trust Him with our lives. Trust Him with our circumstances. Trust Him with all the things that happen to us in life. And receive His gift of joy. Because if we don't see it as a gift, we'll think then that it's something we've got to earn. And I put a couple myths there on your outline. Remember, the first myth being that we think we have to earn joy rather than seeing the fact that joy is a gift. See, if we think we've got to earn joy, then we'll see God as like Santa Claus, right? He's going to check his list, you know, see who's naughty and who's nice. And then we think, oh, you know, God's going to grade me on the curve and I'm not making it. And we somehow think we have to earn God's joy. But the reality is, it's a gift. God comes along and says, hey, I'm not like your high school English teacher. I'm not grading you on the curve. It's not a matter of your works. Your works are a response to what I have done for you. Gift. My gift is a gift of joy. As Ralph read earlier, those words from Jesus in John 15. I've told you this so my joy may be in you. Or another myth that makes us miserable is that we sometimes think that something unusual has to happen to me for me to experience joy. And that's a myth, right? Because then again, we place joy on the external in contrast to the Bible, which says joy is an internal matter. Because if we think joy is an external thing, we'll always be looking around. Oh, if only my financial situation improves or this relationship gets better or my circumstances improve. And then we always think that joy is somewhere around the corner, somehow in the future, as opposed to being right here, right now. Christmas 2016, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of whatever may be happening to you, you can choose joy and you can experience joy right now. Or another myth that makes us miserable. We will feel joy when the world is working right, as opposed to the fact that our world will never quite work right. Our world will continue to struggle. Pain is always inevitable. We'll keep struggling to open our lawn chair in life. There is no easy street in life. There's no pain-free way to live. Life will continue to throw us daggers, but we choose whether to grasp them by the handle or by the blade. Our world will never be completely right. Life will hand us disappointments. Sin will keep rearing its ugly head. But brings me to the third truth. The joy is a choice. It's our responsibility. It's an internal matter, and no one can choose it for you. Abraham Lincoln said, most folks are about as happy as they make their minds up to be. There was a debate on the internet a while ago. Is happiness a right, or is happiness a privilege? What do you think about that? Is happiness a right, or is happiness a privilege? I would say it's neither. Happiness is a choice. It's a choice that you and I can make each and every day. Today, tomorrow, all through Advent 2016. We can declare with the psalmist in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Choose joy today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait till your circumstances or life changes or improves. Choose it today. The angel declared, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. It's for you. The Messiah has come for you. Believe the good news. Relish its joy. Don't wait for something dramatic to happen. Don't wait for the circumstances to change. It's available as a gift from God to you. Let me ask you, are you experiencing that joy today? You say, oh, Rick, I'd like to, but. or I'd like to when, or I'd like to if. No, I say, are you experiencing it right here, right now? And if you're not, what's holding you back from it? Don't let pain hold you back, because pain is inevitable. But joy is a choice that you and I have. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. It's a choice that we make. And I think as we journey with God through our pain, the joy grows. The joy emerges in the midst of that pain. You know what I'm saying? I sometimes look back on my life and some of the hard times, and you guys know my story. I shared it from the platform here. And I wonder, would I ever change my life? Or was it through some of those difficulties and hard times and dark nights of the soul that I know now what joy is? And if I hadn't gone through that, would I really know it? It's like why don't we put the most popular emoji in the world? Take a look at it. It's tears of happiness. I find that fascinating. Tears of happiness. But sometimes we have to experience the tears in order to know that depth of true joy. As the psalmist said, that sorrow comes through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Pain is inevitable. Barbara Johnson writes in one of her books a little bit about her life. And she talks about her son, Larry, coming out as gay, and she didn't react well to that. And she said, this happened after I had already endured devastating injuries to my husband and the deaths of my two sons who had just reached the threshold of their adult life. She writes, all of these experiences squashed my heart. But out of that came a fragrance in my life that could never have happened without going through the crushing pain. One of my favorite bits of verse says it so well. There is no oil without squeezing the olives, no wine without pressing the grapes, no fragrance without crushing the flowers, and no real joy without sorrow. Oh, friends, maybe you felt that way. You felt crushed. You felt squeezed. But in the midst of that sorrow, God is doing his greatest work, his redemption work in your heart, in your life, and it'll produce a joy that will pale in comparison to the hard times. Oh, pain is inevitable. But joy we can choose in the midst of it, because this one who came to us that first Christmas, he came and he lived and he died. And the author of Hebrews says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. That Jesus could choose joy in the midst of the cross. And you and I, as we journey with Jesus, can do the same thing also. When we're feeling crushed like those grapes, we're feeling squeezed like those olives, God is doing a work at our soul level in bringing joy to our lives. And so I say to you, friends, this morning, that in the midst of your pain, that inevitable pain, choose joy, God's joy for you. Today, let's go to prayer. Just take a few moments to silent prayer. Some of you, the joy has drained right out of you. You need more than songs. You need more than a sermon. You need the Spirit of Jesus right now to refill you. Let him do that right now as you reach up to him. Jesus, I just thank you again for your incredible love, that you would leave the domain and the beauty of heaven to come to this earth for us. That out of your joy, you would reach down to reconcile us with yourself. What incredible love. We want to bask in that. We want to live in that. We want to experience that joy this Christmas season that only comes from you.